this morning who's made the commitment to come out to the house of the Lord to worship in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for the presence of all who are here, and we hope some things will be said this morning that will be edifying and uplifting, and that will help us on our walks in life as the children of God. One of the things that I'll want to say up front here is I'm going to apologize. This is kind of one of those lessons where I've prepared it as much for myself as for anybody else, because I find it's important to remind myself of the things that we need to do as Christians on a daily basis. Most of you know my wife and I work at home, so a lot of times during the week we're kind of just at home all day, every day, and we don't interact with people as much as normal people, if you want to use that term, do. And so in some ways I feel a little guilty about that, because I know as Christians we're supposed to be out in the world. We're definitely not supposed to be part of the world, but we need to be out in the world showing the light that God wants us to show and being the examples that he wants us to be. So for a short time this morning, I'd like to talk about the idea of, Lord, have I done my part? We have a song that we have sung here in the past. It's an old church song. It's not in any of the books that we're currently using. But the song is called, Lord, Have I Done My Part? And one of the lines from that song is, have I really fulfilled thy commandments and thy will? Lord, have I done my part? And I think this is something that's important for us to ask ourselves on a daily basis. Are we really doing the things that God wants us to do? So this lesson is going to be one of those kind of spiritual maintenance, if you want to call it that, lesson that helps us to be mindful of just being aware of our responsibility as the children of God, not only for our own salvation, but to try to influence others to grasp it as well. Our text this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 24. All the scriptures I'll be reading this morning are coming from the King James translation. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Here Paul talks about the importance of having self-control and the idea that just like an athlete trains for the event that they take part in or the competition that they're endeavoring to win, we want to win salvation. We want to go to heaven, and so that's something that we have to work for. It's not something that's just going to be handed to us on a silver platter. We have things we have to do in order to maintain and to achieve salvation and to maintain salvation. And so that's what I like to look at for a short time this morning. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, and we're going to look at some of the role models that we have in the Old Testament that displayed these attributes and how they apply in the New Testament and how we should endeavor to add those things to ourselves to better serve God in the future than we have in the past. Before we continue, though, we have an opportunity and a privilege at this time to go to God in a word of prayer. Please clear your minds and be attentive to the one that's been selected as he goes to God on our behalf. We realize that as the children of God today and those who call ourselves Christians, that Jesus is our ultimate role model. He's the example that we're supposed to follow. We are never going to be perfect as he was perfect and sinless in his life, but we need to do the best that we can to emulate the life that he lived and the example that he set. We realize that Jesus came to earth and experienced life in a human form to get a deeper understanding and appreciation of what it is that we go through as human beings. God and Jesus being perfect in heaven, this is something that that God realized that Jesus needed to experience, and he also needed to show that even though trials and tribulations and temptations come our way, that if we remain true to God, that we can overcome those things. And so we need to realize that that we are going to encounter obstacles in life. We're going to look at some, as we said, some men and heroes from the Old Testament who faced various obstacles in their service to God, and yet they overcame those things. And we need to realize that when obstacles come our way, that we need to do everything that we can to overcome them as well. It's not going to be easy. It's often going to be difficult, and we're often going to need help from other people, especially other brothers and sisters in Christ, to help us overcome those things. But we can't just sit back and give up. That's not the type of person that God wants as his children. I'd like now to read from the writings of Peter. We're going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye may neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We realize as we go through life, we must continue to grow closer to God. Growth is something that's vital to us as Christians. We can't think that once we take the steps of salvation and are baptized and our old sins are washed away, that we're done with our obligation to God. That's just the beginning of it. That's the first step. Whether you're going to Walmart or Mars, the journey begins with the first steps. And we realize that the steps of salvation are the first steps as our walk as Christians, and that from the time that we're baptized until we die or until Jesus comes again, whichever happens first, that we have to maintain our salvation. And we do that by growing closer to God, by gaining a deeper knowledge of his word, and then using that and applying it to our lives to better serve him. So as we mentioned before, we're going to look at some of the characters from the Old Testament who displayed some of the things that we've written on the board here and how they overcame obstacles that were put in front of them. The first person we'd like to talk about, or the first attribute we'd like to talk about, is endurance. And we're going to look at Noah and how Noah displayed this concept of endurance. I'd like now to go back to Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Genesis 6, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We realize that out of all the people that had lived into that time, they were still living on the earth when the flood came, that only Noah and his sons and their wives, 8 people, were saved from that destruction. Man had become so wicked in that little bit of time that God had already decided that he was going to shorten their time upon the earth. We know that Adam and his descendants, Methuselah, and some of the people that lived back then lived hundreds of years. Here God says he's going to shorten man's years to 120, and he would later shorten that again to 70, because it seemed like the longer God gave man on the earth, the more time that he had to get himself messed up instead of staying on the straight and narrow path that God wanted him to walk. One of the interesting and fascinating things about the story of Noah is that God decided to save Noah and his sons and their wives, but they had to work for their salvation. They had 120 years they were given to build the ark. God told them how to make it, what to make it out of, and what animals to bring on the ark and what provisions to bring. But they had to do it themselves. God easily could have done all that for them, but he wanted us to understand that our salvation requires work. It requires persistence. And in this case, it requires endurance. Here's Noah and his sons. They're building an ark out in the middle of nowhere. As far as we know from what the Bible teaches us, it had never rained. So flooding was something that man hadn't experienced before. They had no concept of it. And so no doubt people were coming by and making fun of Noah and his sons. They're like, why are you building a boat out here in the middle of nowhere that's never going to see water? And yet they endeavored to do what God asked them to do. They did their work. They got it done. And because they were willing to do what God asked them to do, they were saved from the flood. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As Christians, we need to have the endurance that Noah displayed. We have to have a realization that as Christians, that the walk of life that we've chosen is one that requires work. We have a goal of going to heaven, and we have to work for that. We can't just expect it to be given to us just because we were baptized or just because we show up for services on Sunday morning. It's something that we have to work for every single day of our lives. James chapter 1 and verse 27. James 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Being a Christian is a full-time job. It requires us all day, every day, to be mindful of how the things that we say and do, the way that we dress, the way that we act, the places that we go, all that affects us in our standing with God as his children. And so we always have to be mindful of that, and we have to realize that there are always things that God expects us to be doing as we're going about our daily lives. We have to have commitment, and that's the next thing that we're going to talk about. That's the next thing on our list here. And someone who displayed commitment was Abraham. I'd like now to go to further back into Genesis chapter 22, or I'm sorry, coming closer to the end of Genesis, chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass after these sayings that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both to them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And he said to this, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. As anyone here who's a parent or a grandparent, I'm sure that we cannot imagine offering our child as a sacrifice. And I'm sure that Abraham must have been somewhat conflicted or confused about what it was that God ask him to do, but he was committed to do the things that God asked of him. And so even though he must have had some feeling of not really wanting to do what God asked him, yet he did it. He realized that this was what God expected him to do, and this was a sacrifice that he was going to have to make. And so he was willing to go through with the thing that God asked him to do. And it's kind of a wake-up call to us that God doesn't ask us to do more than we're able to do. He doesn't ask us to sacrifice our children, although many people in the world today do end up sacrificing their children because they spend more time on themselves and the things that they want to do instead of bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or even raising their children to be decent people. And so we see a lot of things in the world today, a lot of children that end up in jail or prison, or worse, they end up dead because they didn't have the parental guidance that they needed. And that's because their parents often sacrificed them, so to speak, because their wants, the parents' wants, were more important than the children. We realize that today God still asks a big commitment out of each and every one of us, and we can read this in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth ye receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. We realize that God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. God was willing. He did not ask Abraham to go through with that. However, God did sacrifice his son for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And he asked us to make sacrifices in life as well. He wants us to be committed to him. And sometimes, as we read here in Matthew, it may put us at odds with the people that we love and care about the most. Our desire to be Christians and to walk the Christian life may cause us conflict with friends, employers, relatives, but we have to remain strong and do the things that God asks us to do. And sometimes we may have to end those relationships or give them less of a priority that they may have had in the past in order that we may serve God. And these things are hard, and this is one of the reasons why some people aren't able to walk the Christian life, because when they're confronted with this obstacle, they just can't find within themselves the commitment to God that's necessary to overcome those things. The next idea we'd like to talk about is perseverance. And a person in the Old Testament that displayed that characteristic was Moses. I'd like now to read a couple passages from Exodus, beginning in chapter 3, in verse 4. Exodus 3, verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and it shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of our fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. I'd like now to drop down and read from chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And now we'll continue reading in chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And ye shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and ye shall be, even he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, whereof thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And finally, down to verse 27 in Exodus 4. And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words the Lord had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and they had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. We see that Moses tried to make excuses why he couldn't step up and do the things that God asked him to do. He was looking for God to put that responsibility on somebody else. He had some self-confidence issues and probably just a desire to not really want to have the burden of that responsibility. But God convinced him that this was the thing that he needed to do. He needed to have perseverance. He needed to realize that even though he felt like he didn't have everything that he needed in order to do that task, that he had to man up, as we call it today, or step up and do the things that God ask him to do, and stop making excuses for why he could not do it. I'd like now to turn over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 and begin reading in verse 57. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Much like Moses, the people that Jesus encountered here were looking for excuses why they weren't ready to do the things God asked them to do. They didn't flat out say they weren't going to do it. They just said they weren't ready to do it. They had other things that they had to do that were more important to them that they wanted to do first instead of doing the things that Jesus here was asking them to do. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can find sometimes we're much in the same situation where there are things in life that may not be anything that's sinful or anything that's wrong. But we have things in our life that we enjoy that sometimes we might consider doing those before other things that we know God expects us to do. And so we have to have the perseverance to do the things that God asks us to do and to put those things first and let the other things come after that. The next thing we want to talk about is companionship, and someone who displayed that well in the Old Testament was Elijah. I'd like now to go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 1. This is a situation, if you remember the story of Elijah, when he confronted the priest of Baal. They had more or less like a contest to Elijah challenged these priests to have Baal bring down fire from heaven and consume a sacrifice that they had put on an altar. And they yelled and screamed for, if I remember correctly, it might have been a couple of days. And the whole time Elijah was taunting them, saying, maybe he's asleep, or maybe you're not screaming loud enough. And eventually when Elijah's turn came, of course, God sent down fire and consumed the altar. And then Elijah killed those prophets of Baal, and then this is what happens next, beginning in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he rose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elijah the son of Saphat of Amblio shall thou anoint to be prophet in thine room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah here felt like after this confrontation with the priest of Baal that he was all alone. He felt like he was the only person who was trying to do what God wanted him to do. And so he ran away. He ran to the mountain of God, and he just wanted to die. He had given up, basically. He felt like that there was nothing else that he could do, that all the people that he tried to convince to turn away from their evil deeds would not listen to him. And he just felt like he was finished with it. And God told him, you know, you're not alone. There's other people who have not kneeled to Baal, other people who still stand for me. And you need to go back and remain strong, and to encourage more people to join in with those 7,000 and to serve God the way that they're supposed to. I'd like now to turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. One of the things, one of our responsibilities as Christians is to be a good support, a good shoulder to cry on, a good help for our other brothers and sisters in Christ. And certainly we can extend that help and that influence to anyone who needs our help. But we need to be a people that cares about other people and has concern for their, certainly their spiritual well-being as well as their physical well-being. And we should be ready and willing to extend that kindness and love to anyone who needs our help. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Matthew 18 verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We realize that Jesus says if a couple of us get together to pray, to study, to support one another, that he is there with us. He is constantly watching over us, and he is a constant help for us and a shoulder as well that we can cry on and that we can go to and seek his compassion and his help. And certainly we realize that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be there for each other doing the same thing. Next thing we want to talk about is unquestioning faith. And someone who demonstrated this was Job. And I don't want to get into too many lengthy readings here, so let's kind of paraphrase this. Again, this is a story we all should be very familiar with. Job was a man who was blessed by God. He was, in today's time, he would be looked upon as someone who's very rich. He had cattle, sheep, camels, crops. He was in all ways a very blessed individual, and Satan was affronted by this, and he went to God and said, you know, you've built a wall around this man Job, and you protect him and bless him, and he doesn't really know what it's like to be tempted or have any kind of trials. And so God allowed Satan to tempt Job and to try him, and he basically started by taking pretty much everything that Job had. Even his children were gathered together in one of their homes having a meal, and the roof fell on them, and they all died. And people, Job's servants, one after another, came to him telling him all the things that had happened. It's just in this one short span of time. And now we're going to read a couple of verses from Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job had literally lost everything. How many times or how many people have we known that have lost a loved one or lost a job or a vehicle or some physical thing, and the first thing they want to do is blame God? Why did God allow this to happen to me? Why did God do this? Why didn't God prevent this from happening? We realize that God doesn't operate that way, and that sometimes things happen, and we're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. There's no guarantee as Christians that we're going to go through life free as a bird with no problems or no concerns or no tragedies that we're going to have to deal with. As a matter of fact, we're guaranteed that it's going to happen sooner or later, and we need to be ready for it. We need to handle it in a way that God expects us to handle it. And I'm sure we've all known people in the church who have suffered the loss of children, parents, brothers and sisters, and they've handled it in a way that was very in keeping with the way God wants us to do it. I mean, I can't imagine that. I've lost my parents, but I've never had to lose a child or a sibling or a spouse, and I just can't imagine what that's like. But I've seen people that have gone through that, and they came out on the other side with their faith intact. And it's a real blessing to us when we see people that set forth that example. And it's one that if we find ourselves in the same situation, we need to strongly consider that we do the same thing, that we hold up under it as hard as it is and realize that things happen for a reason. And often there are reasons we don't understand and reasons we may never understand. But we realize that God's will is done, and it's part of God's plan. And again, this is something that's very difficult to explain to people. It's difficult for me to get up here and say it, but that's the way it is. God has a plan for all mankind, and sometimes his plan is not our plan. But we have to realize that God is in control, and that God, just as Job says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and we have to accept that and be stronger for it, as hard as it may be for us to do. And that's one of the reasons why it's important for this idea of companionship and brotherly love to be there to support one another. I'll never forget a story Brother Edison told about someone in the church had lost, one of their children had died. And some of you may know that Lavelle and Edison had a child that was an infant that was run over accidentally by Lavelle and killed. And they went to see this family that lost this child. And Edison said he went and told the man how sorry he was. And the man said, "I know you know what I'm going through. I know you can relate to it. Everybody can say they're sorry, but unless somebody's experienced that, they really don't know how to express it to another person. And so it's important for us to be willing to give of ourselves in that way. Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. Matthew 17, beginning in verse 20. "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." If we turn our faith, if we have the same faith that that Job displayed, if we put everything in God's hands, he will help us to overcome any obstacle that we may face. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 12. "Therefore, let him that thinketh he stand taketh heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you by such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." As we mentioned, tragedy befalls all men sooner or later. It's something that we can't avoid. Sooner or later, we're going to have to face it. And when it comes to facing it, we need to be prepared to handle it in the way that Job did, and realizing that our unwavering faith in God will help us get through whatever tragedy may befall us in this life. Our final thing that we have up here is courage, and someone who displayed courage was Jonah. Again, for sake of time, we'll just talk about Jonah for a minute. You again know that story well, how Jonah was told by God to go over to Nineveh, a pagan city, and to tell them to repent. And Jonah had no idea why God wanted him to do this, and he was afraid of what would happen to him if he did, so he tried to hide from God. But eventually, he realized that he had to do the thing that God asked him to do. Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Jonah tried to run away. There's a one of the Psalms, I can't remember off the top of my head which one it is, but David talks about you can't hide from God no matter where you go, the highest mountain, the deepest part of the sea, the deepest reaches of outer space. You cannot get away from God. God is everywhere. And Jonah realized eventually that he couldn't run away from God, that he had to do the thing that God wanted him to do. And when he went to Nineveh and talked to them, they were convicted of their sins, and they repented that they had done the things contrary to what God wanted them to do. Matthew 28, beginning of verse 16. Matthew 28, beginning of verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We realize that sometimes as Christians we can be scared and confused by the things that are required of us as Christians. We realize that sometimes It seems like what God is asking us to do is too much. Either we don't have the talent or ability to do it. Sometimes we don't have the desire to do it. But we realize that God has work that He expects us to do, and He expects us to do it to the best of our ability. We talked about Peter at the beginning of our lesson, and Peter was one who we can look at. Both Peter and Paul are good examples of spiritual growth as we look at their lives and what the New Testament has to tell us about them. Of course, they come from two different perspectives. Peter was one who traveled with Jesus, and he was a common fisherman, so he didn't have a lot of education, but he did experience life traveling around with Jesus. And Paul was one who was well-educated and was at first an enemy of the church, but eventually he became converted and became one of the greatest workers for the church and spreaders of the gospel. So we look at Peter, we realize that Peter had endurance. Peter wasn't always sure exactly what it was that Jesus was trying to teach them, but he knew he said that Jesus was the Son of God. So he knew that he had to continue to be with Jesus, and he showed that endurance. Even when he was afraid, when he was confronted at the trial of Jesus, he ran away, but eventually he came back, and we realize that he displayed that endurance. He displayed that commitment. He remained a child of God until his life was ended, doing the things that God asked him to do. He had perseverance, even though he and John were beaten. They were warned repeatedly again by the Jews not to teach about Jesus, and yet they persisted in spreading the gospel. Peter had companionship with the others in the church and showed them the growth that he had. He never lost his faith, and he had the courage to do the things that God wanted him to do. And even though at one time he had been afraid and run away, now he was bold. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles. Peter was no longer afraid of what would happen to him if he stood for Jesus. Before, when Jesus was arrested, Paul had said during the Last Supper that he would die with Jesus. But when that opportunity presented itself to him, he couldn't do it. He ran away. But once they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the full revelation of what Jesus had taught them was revealed to them, Peter realized that he couldn't run away anymore. He didn't want to run away. He wanted to do what God asked him to do, and he wanted to do it as long as God allowed him to stay on the earth and do it. And we should look to that as an example and desire to do the same. We mentioned before the steps of salvation. We realize if we want to become a Christian, the most important thing is that we hear the Word of God. Now, some people can't hear, but they can read. You need to experience the Word of God and what it has to teach you about the promises that God has for us. When we hear, it should cause within us a belief. We should believe that Jesus is the Son of God and believe that one day through salvation we can obtain a home in heaven. If we believe, then we would want to repent. We want to change our lives. We want to look at ourselves with this self-examination that we've been talking about and see if there are things that we need to correct. And that causes within us a repentance and a desire to live the way God wants us to live. We can then confess before men that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we can then be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And we come up out of the water of baptism with a clean slate. Anything that we've done contrary to what God wants us to do has been forgiven. And as we said before, this is not the end of the journey, this is the beginning. Because from that point forward, how we live is going to determine where we spend eternity. Thank you for your attention this morning. If there are any who desire the services of the church, won't you come while we stand and sing?